We're finishing it today. Woo! And what a great picture I found there. I reckon he's playing really well, that guy. I like that. That gives me inspiration. I can still fly. I like it, no matter how I might be feeling. So everyone gets to play as one of those sort of sayings that seem to be in the vineyard. And John Wimber, who is recognised as the founder of the Wimber of the vineyard movement, had lots of cool sayings that he would bring out, and he had a real background to them. And so something else he always wanted too for the vineyard was not for it never to be a denomination, but to always be a vineyard movement, because, you know, when we start getting a bit precious about who we are, we start to say, oh, we do it like this and you do it like that. And suddenly there's a barrier. And he was never into denominations because they keep people out. He never wanted the vineyard to be sort of like a fossilised or stagnant denomination, but to move where the Spirit was moving. And so that everyone can come in and be part of things. And I remember him saying at a conference I went to, you know, if I see the Holy Spirit moving in the Catholic Church down the road, that's where I'm going to go. So he wasn't precious about being vineyard. He just wants what the Spirit wants for us. And which is such the biblical view, isn't it? Because we read, you know, keep in step with the Spirit. You know, we've been born of the Spirit. And let's actually go to the next slide. Jesus said, you know, I tell you the truth, that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So it's pretty amazing when we say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in us, we're born of the Spirit, we're born again, we suddenly, we're new creations, we see things differently, we have spiritual lens on, we have spiritual eyes that can see. And just like the wind, you know, our life should not be predictable anymore, because we're actually trying to tune in to ask Spirit of God, what do you want me to be doing in this space? Who am I? And church should not be predictable either, because if we're really listening to the Spirit, we want to know, God, what do you want to do today? What's on your heart? That we, you know, he wants us to grasp. And so that's why some people find, oh, wow, when you come to Vineyard, you never quite know what's going on. Well, that's fine. You know, we should get used to that. Because predictability is not God. Oh, my goodness, when you read the Bible and the Old Testament, he was doing something different all the time. His character never changes. He loves us with a passion. But there is no formula, which is beautiful and so freeing for us. So everyone gets to play was another Wimberism, they used to say, like another saying that he has, and which is very much in line with, you know, being people of the Spirit, being led by Holy Spirit. And John Wimber came up with that saying because he did notice when he was first working out this Christian thing and church thing that when he went to meetings, you know, there might be a group in a room, there might be a woman or man speaking or leading, and it seemed like they were just doing everything. And the other people just sat there and looked very quietly, and then that was the end of the meeting and off they went. He thought, no, that doesn't really seem like the way it should be. And Simon was talking to us from 1 Corinthians last week. And actually it was interesting. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, oh, what should we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. And all these things are done for the strengthening of the church. Wow. So I looked up the Greek word for everyone and just to make sure, and yeah, it means everyone. Funny about that. So it means everyone here in this room helps to build up everyone else. How fantastic. You know, so The onus is really back on us. You know, do we think, oh, it's church today, I'm coming, I'm going to see my brothers and sisters, it's the body of Christ, what can I bring, Lord? Yeah, what a good prayer that is to pray as we're driving. Lord, what do you want me to bring? Is there someone you want me to encourage today? So you can come and speak to them and pray with them. Whoa, imagine that. Awesome. That's the body activated. So we've been talking about spiritual gifts because, you know, it's the Holy Spirit in us and the Holy Spirit releases us and empowers us to be all that God wants us to be for the strengthening of the church. But I think it might be good just to sort of clarify a little bit about what's been said over the weeks, because it can be a bit confusing. Sometimes people use the word spiritual gifts interchangeably, and there are distinct differences. So maybe if we look at the next slide, let's have a look at that. So Toe and Melanie talked about the first column, motivational gifts, and that's found in Romans 12:3-8. And for people who've studied this over the centuries, pretty much agree that these gifts are given to every human being on the planet, okay? And it's just the way we're wired. It's the stuff in us, or the way we're wired, that motivates to respond in a particular way when a situation arises and compels us, or moulds how we think in our personality as well. So that was Romans 12. Everyone has that, okay? And people say too, it kind of doesn't really change, you know, if you, and that's the little test that I sent out for some of you that would have seen that on our Facebook page, was to do with these motivational gifts. You know, how are you kind of wired? The fivefold equipping, that's Ephesians 4, and it talks about, you know, Jesus gives gifts to men, and it's given for the equipping and building up of the body. And some people feel like it's just really specific people get this. Others don't agree, and that's fine. I always like the idea that we learn theology in community, talking stuff out. But some people, because in that Ephesians things, it says, now to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned. So some people say, well, it says to everyone. So maybe some of us are kind of like one of those in some form. And then last week, Simon was talking to us from the passage in 1 Corinthians 12. And they're situational, so they're available to every believer, and they're a manifestation. And Simon said, you know, it's really an opportunity. When that happens, like if I go and say to someone, oh, I really see this picture and I think it means this for you, and it's a word of encouragement, it's a manifestation. It's an opportunity for God to manifest, to show himself, to show his love, and to build and to bless other people. And so he uses us. How awesome in that process. So motivational, every human being is wired in a particular way. You're wired in a particular way. The middle column, they're specific kind of gifts for the equipping. So the apostle doesn't just go out and be just apostle everywhere. They teach others what it's like to be an apostle and equip them. It's like the prophet. They just don't stand all day and prophesy. I mean, they can, but they're actually meant to be equipping other people to learn how to prophesy. So all of those middle ones is to build up the body and teach them how to do those things. So that's given to some or all as well. So today, I just wanted to look a little bit at the yellow column, because that's for all of us and it's for all the time. And so I did ask you to do a little quiz thing, I guess, and you might not have all done that. So I just wanted to go through what they look like. So if you have or haven't, no worries. Let me just tell you a little bit about each one And sort of think to yourself, well, I think I'm like that. And you can only choose one, sorry. All right, so if you are wired to be giving, that means you're wired to share what material resources you have with liberality and cheerfulness without any thought of return. So you just, you know, when you see any, you just want to give away. Mercy, you are sensitive toward those who are suffering. You have genuine sympathy with their misery. You want to speak words of compassion and care for them with deeds of love to help alleviate their distress. So that's what you like. If you're a serving person, you are able to show God's life and love by doing something practical for someone else. This is what makes you tick. You have the deep need to love others in Jesus' name by doing practical works for them. And you walk into a situation, you have the ability to see what needs to be done and you actually go and do it. You're very highly motivated doers. Nothing wrong with that. That sounds awesome. I'd like to live with lots of those people. Exhortation and encouragement. So encouragement, and there's another word that gets used, which is exhortation. All right, so if you're like this, you have the motivation to see people grow and you want to see people mature and be established in their personal life and in their relationships. So that's what you want to do. And these sorts of people are really greatly loved because they're always really positive in their outlook and attitude. Oh, you can do it. That's really good. Why don't you try this? All right, leadership. If you like this, you have the motivation to provide direction and to motivate others to get involved to achieve specific goals. So you get everyone organised. If you're prophetic, you have insight and you see things that others don't. Now, when I read all these out, I'm sure you'll think, oh, I have a bit of that, oh, I have a bit of that. But there'll be kind of one that you think, yeah, I'm really like that. So prophetic, you have insight and see things that others don't. It doesn't necessarily mean that you want to, you'll be speaking prophecies. It really means that you have insight. And that's the ability to see things the way they really are. Prophets have, if you're prophetic, you have a more direct intuitive sense about where people and things are really at. And you can sort of discern the inner motives of people in a way that others don't. Okay. And teaching, the last one there. So if you're kind of wired this way, it's the ability, you have the ability to impart knowledge and to lead others into revealed truth. And the real motivation is that you want to search out and validate truth and share this with others. And there was another explanation about what teaching that kind of wide is looks like, and it gave me a real giggle because teaching was what I scored highest in. And one of the things I was reading, it says, have you ever asked someone a simple question and all you want is a yes or a no, but they cannot for the life of them give you a simple answer? If that's the case, you're probably talking to someone who's wise as a teacher. And that made me laugh because I drive him crazy. He'll say, Maria, I just want you to answer this question and I want it to be a yes or a no. And I go, honey, I really will try, but I can't guarantee that it will be a yes or a no, and it never is because I'll go, yeah, it's yes, but it has to, if this is the blah, 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 is in place. But if not, blah, 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 blah. Like, he rolls his eyes. So there you go. We're all different. So I did a next slide. The next slide was going to be the slide, I think, what's your motivational gift and to use your phones, but it's not working today. So there you go. So I'm going to get you to raise your hand. So can we go back to the other slide now? If you feel like you are giving is your kind of thing, your why for, can you put up your hand? Oh, wow. Oh, there we go. He was feeling sorry for the room. You probably really got a gift of mercy. All right, gift of mercy. Oh, look at that. Yeah, yeah. And if you're not sure and you haven't done the little thing, survey thing, go and do it. It's interesting. Service, serving, yeah, yeah. Encouragement. Yep. Yep. Leadership. Yep. Okay. Good. Prophetic. Yes. Yep. Teaching. Yep. Oh, some people putting up their hands twice. Yes, it's a bit hard to work it out, isn't it? Actually, a funny story here. There are seven friends and they coincidentally all have a different spiritual motivation or gift. Funny about that. Anyway, so they're all at a friend's house and they have eaten dinner and the hostess is bringing in dessert on a tray when lo and behold, the tray tips over and the desserts are a mess on the floor. And this is how the seven friends respond. Prophecy. Well, that's what happens when you're not careful. A bit blunt. Server. Oh, let me help you clean it up. Teaching. Now, the reason that fell was it was too heavy on one side. You need to always be balanced. Okay. Exhortation. Now, next time, let's serve dessert with the meal. Giving. I'd be happy to buy a new dessert. Mercy. Don't feel badly. It could have happened to anyone. And the leader. Jim, would you get the mop? Mary, would you pick this up here? Sue, help me fix another dessert. Sometimes that kind of thing makes you realise how you might fit into that. I think something to take note with all of this is that you know, the gift doesn't actually necessarily determine what you'll do. So if your gift of mercy, you know, it doesn't mean that you will necessarily be on the streets being that person who is ministering. You know, maybe God might call you to that. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's what you will be doing. It might be. But what it will mean is that your gifting or the way you're wired, you'll bring it to whatever you actually do when you go to work, when you're doing something at church. You'll do things in the way that you're wired to do. So I encourage us not to get too hung up about where you fit, because that sort of limits and narrows our vision, I think, about who we are and who God is and how he's going to use us. But it is helpful to know, I think, for two reasons why it's helpful to know. If we can have the next slide after the Slido slide. And that's the fact is that, number one, you're different to other people in the room. So, and that's great because God's made you that way. So you don't need to compare yourself anymore or compete to be like someone else. Just be you. Really be you. And, you know, when we walk with Jesus and when we allow the Holy Spirit to move in and through us, we actually become more who we're meant to be all the time. You're becoming more you all the time. But it also means that sometimes, you know, like in that story where the desserts are all over the ground, the mercy person might be thinking, well, why aren't you getting up to help? You know, do you ever feel like that? You sort of see what needs to happen in your way and you go do it and you can't understand what other people don't. Some people actually just don't see it. You know, and it's not they're trying to be mean or whatever, they just don't see it. So, you know, that's why we have our values, you know, to accept, forgive and love, because we are all different. So let's give each other the freedom to be different. But it's also the other thing too is that you're a unique part of the body of Christ. You know, and last time I looked at my body, in the cupboard at home, I don't have any spare parts doing nothing. Funny about that. I don't have a leg in there just in case I need another one. No, I know. I've got it. It's all here. And that's the same with the body of Christ. All of you are a part of the body of Christ. You're not a spare part waiting, you know, in the cupboard till we need you. You're in it now. So let's bring who we are now and participate in whatever. So the next question I hear you say, but what does God want me to do? So sometimes when we start talking about, you know, what's your role, what's your position, we can get a bit narrow in how we're thinking. And the Bible, when we're reading that, is giving us a much bigger picture. So, when we, in the New Testament especially, when we're reading Paul's letters, he's always talking about, God wants you to be growing up. Grow up. Keep growing. Keep going in your walk. Grow up into spiritual maturity. Because when you get to that place, you really get to be a lot more secure in who you are. And when tough times come, you don't get tossed around and wondering, oh, you know, where's God? Who am I? I don't know. He wants us to keep growing. The next one is that, you know, God wants us to continue the mission that the Father started, that Jesus came to initiate, and he's handed it over to us to continue. And that's God's big picture, that he wants everyone in the world to come into an awesome relationship with God so they can know how beautiful God is too. He wants us to be a part of that big picture, the big mission, always, always. And so thirdly, that means for us then, when we think about, oh, what's my position? What part do I play? What's my calling in life? Well, it's to always come into alignment with God's big picture. And when we think about that, it takes the pressure off in trying to think, gee, what do I do with my life? Do I take this job? Do I do this course? What do I do? God says, do what brings you joy. Do what I'm leading into you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. That's it. And when you're doing that, when you're working at McDonald's, say, you get to bring Jesus there too. You get to shine God in that space with everything that you have because you're a part of God's big picture and his mission. So we want to be careful that we don't narrow how we think about that and don't narrow the thought that, oh, I'm only gifted in this, so that's all I'm going to do. No. Because we want to be effective, and to be effective is to look back at our Romans passage, Romans 12, and if we can look at the next slide, let's just look at that. So the beginning, this is how we are effective, Romans 12, 1 to 2. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. This gets said before he starts talking about the spiritual gifts of how you're wired. So before we even get to that, Paul's saying, we're living sacrifices. That means we're dying daily, all the time, to our own imaginations and thoughts and ideas that are our own and not wanting to bring God in. We have to die to self and say, God, I'm surrender. You're all I need. And he wants us to change the way we think, not like the world does. And, you know, the antithesis of the world is what the kingdom is about. If we can look at the next one, God's ways and kingdom is essentially a servant community. Oh, the world does not talk about that. The world is always about being number one and being top dog. And that picture reminds us of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Here we have the King of creation giving up his glory to do the worst job on earth. The worst job on earth. Even the disciples, they didn't want to do it to each other, but Jesus did. So Jesus shows us that we are to be servants in any and every way possible. And when we come to be a servant, we bring who we are to that. So I'll serve differently to Neil. He'll serve differently to Janine. It will look different, and that's great. That's great and that's wonderful. He just wants us to bring ourselves to that. So rather than wondering about what's my position, it's best to recognise that you already are a part of the body and you already have a position. Okay, so what? Where do we go from here as we think about what we've talked about over the weeks and today. How do we apply this? Where to from here? Let's think about doing six things today. Let's decide afresh today to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. And why wouldn't we want to? The one who loves us perfectly, who brings life. And it's funny, you know, when we surrender, we don't actually lose, we gain. We gain fully being led by the Spirit, knowing deep peace and joy in our lives. To be led by the Spirit and to allow spiritual character to grow, the fruit of the Spirit to come and ooze out of our lives. The love, joy, peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness, kindness, gentleness and self-control. To remember that God has made you so unique. Each one of you is so beautiful and special. So you don't need to feel like you're not enough. You are. That you have something to bring. You might not feel you have something to bring, but you actually really, really do. And it's really important that you bring it. Just get involved. Be servants. Love one another. And, you know, if you're not sure what you should be doing, or you're not doing something you think you might want to be doing something, just ask God. God, where do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to be to shine your light for you? How can I encourage someone else? What can I be doing? We talked about a lot of different teams today. Maybe you'd like to be involved in a team and bless the body here. Just the last slide. So this is back to the Ephesians passage about spiritual gifts. And it says here, Christ, the whole body, is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in life, in love, as each part does its work. So how do you and I grow and get built up in love together? As we all play our part. As you just be you, do you. Know that God wants to use you. Live a life of surrender and servanthood, empowered and led by the Holy Spirit, giving glory to God and growing to look more and more like Jesus every day. How awesome. God is good. I'm just going to pray, and I'd just like the worship team, if they could just come up, please. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing adventure-filled, spirit-led life that you've called us into. How wonderful, how amazing, Lord. And we do love you, we love your ways, and we want to keep growing in your ways more and more. So today we just come as we are, and that's you invite us that way, Lord, just to come as we are with open hearts to you. And Holy Spirit, would you just come in right now? Would you come and bring your encouragement to remind each person here how wonderful they are, how precious they are to you, Father, and how precious they are to be a part of the body of Christ, this family, Lord. And we are an expression of that family here at Marion Vineyard. And what a joy it is to be connected, that we need each other. I need you. You need me. Lord, you've made us to be interdependent, growing in love as we serve and love one another. So would you just come and move and encourage us in our hearts this afternoon as we continue to worship you. We give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name.